From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, Dustin speaks with Jim Sutter, CEO of the U.S. Soybean Export Council, about the state of soybean exports. Russ Parker is joined by Steve Kuiper, District 8 representative with the Iowa Corn Growers Association. And Dustin breaks down all the sights and sounds of Commodity Classic 2024. It's time now to welcome our hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
Well, it is a little rainy here to start the day back in Iowa. It wouldn't be such a bad deal if I didn't spend 3 days of rain in Houston, Texas for Commodity Classic, but we'll take what we can get. Welcome to Iowa Ag Matters on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. I'm Dustin Huffman. Andy Peterson joining me, and I guess one thing that was nice, I missed winter in Iowa for one day.
Boy, but you came back to just an absolute wind shear yesterday. In fact, I'm still cleaning up this morning a couple of limbs that I lost with the heavy wind. And looks like maybe a little rain today, too. And wouldn't that be nice here as we get into the early parts of March? Lots of conversation, though, continuing from Commodity Classic. We'll catch up with our friends at the Iowa Corn Growers Association. We're back to it a little bit stronger in the marketplace as Mark Magnuson visits with Craig McBride from Allendale to kick us off.
Joined today by Greg McBride of Allendale for our opening market discussion. Greg, what are we seeing taking place in the grains?
Higher start to the week, at least for the overnight session. You got the corn finding some buying up 3.75 in the May contract. Beans up about 9.25 in their May contract. Wheat following along a little bit after getting beat up to close out last week. We are starting, I mean, we're talking about 13 to 14 weeks straight for the beans. We're talking about 9 straight weeks for the corn. Now that we're starting to see the open interest decline a little bit, that shows that the funds are starting to maybe lighten up on these positions. As of last Tuesday, they went from their record short position of 340,000 contracts to just short 295,000 contracts right now. So Still a lot of ways to go just to get back to a neutral position on the corn. Beans did increase their short position through last Tuesday, about 24,000 contracts. They are now short 160,000, and that's roughly 95% of their overall record short. So as we look at this, there's nothing that's really bullish just yet. Yes, there's a little bit of dryness in Argentina, but to see the funds start to lighten up a little bit is going to help us maybe stabilize these markets and even maybe bring us back up a little bit.
Greg, with South America, it seems like the picture clearing up a little bit. We're finally getting a little bit closer to knowing exactly what's happening in South America as far as harvest and planting that second Safrina corn crop. But kind of what is the situation right now for South America?
Well, they're moving along very, very quickly in Brazil. You know, obviously, some of the drier conditions, some of the drier areas, probably don't have as high of yield, so that helps things up. That also means that they're harvesting faster. That also means that they're planting that Safrina corn faster. So that is something to watch. Obviously, they want to try and get it in by a certain time because there is a dry period, a seasonal dry period that comes up. As you go into what would be spring for us, would be April and May timeframe. So they're going to be pushing to get as much of that corn planted as quickly as possible. And then as you look at Argentina, they've been back and forth. They started out really, really good. Then they've had a few bouts of heat and dryness that puts a little bit of a question mark on things. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to fail by any means. We're looking at a record production out of South America at this point. So that is what leads to a lot of the bearishness that's in our markets. Plus, you also have low prices down there that we actually can't really touch, especially on the soybean side of things. So at this point, they are still in the driver's seat when it comes to exports. On the corn side of things, we have a slight advantage, but and we've seen that that demand for corn keeps steady. It's not great, but it's kept steady, whereas the beans have fallen off pretty substantially over the last 6 to 8 weeks.
Well, we'll have more from Greg McBride of Allendale coming up a little later on in the program. Andy Peterson's in now with his three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Looking for demand for Iowa's agricultural products, and perhaps that comes with a thawing on the trade relationship between the U.S. and Cuba. The National Association of State Departments of Agriculture recently led a trade mission to Cuba where Ted McKinney is the CEO.
I sense that things are changing. Let me give you an example. We had the full support of the USDA's Foreign Ag Service to go there, which meant everybody at USDA knew this. And the same with State Department. There was a time when nobody was allowed to go. So that seems to be there. And I'll go back to this restructuring that they initiated on their own. This rise of private companies, this rise of cooperatives, many types, but including privately owned, not government-driven, government-mandated, offers an opportunity. It might give them an opportunity to get some hard currency or bring more in, or maybe it might open up their credit record to be approved such that they can get credit from other banks.
He says it's like all other rising middle classes where Cubans want to diversify their food choices.
Number two.
Nominations are now open for Iowa's Pulled Pork Madness, the contest that matches March Madness for Iowans who love delicious pulled pork sandwiches. The contest is a lot of fun and is great at highlighting, quote, delicious pork on menus across the state, according to Hannah Spur, Consumer Outreach Director for the Iowa Pork Producers Association. It's the seventh year of the contest, which highlights the best of the best across the state in regard to pulled pork meals.
Number one.
On the hunt for maximum efficiency in every aspect of a row crop operation, given what's happened in commodity prices, our friends at the Iowa Soybean Association are doing their seeding rate trials, where Brian Fager, a farmer in Cass County, participated last year, and he says certainly during the growing season, looks can be a little deceiving, as the higher populations will look better during the season.
You know, we were probably in that 130 to 140,000 seed per acre environment already before we were doing this trial. And I was like, man, was I thinking about this wrong? You know, just visually. But then you go out there and start combining, and you're like, well, that was not the case at all. I mean, the combine always tells the story and gets the final say.
He says their optimum rate last year was either 110,000 or 80,000 seeds per acre, and they are participating in the trial again. You can do the same at iasoybeans.com. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
If you thought soybeans were only used for tofu, think again. From tires and adhesives to next-generation asphalt, soy is used to create over 1,000 industrial products and counting. Thanks to your soy checkoff investment, the sky's the limit for Iowa soybean farmers. Oh, and speaking of skies, did I mention soy is also used in sustainable aviation fuel? The Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soy Checkoff, is driven to deliver for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. Learn more at iasoybeans.com.
Well, a deadline to get your favorite restaurant entered. The Iowa's Best Burger Contest is coming up. We'll talk about that. And Commodity Classic next on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, back here on Iowa Ag Matters, and it's great to be back in the state after a busy couple of days, Andy, down in Houston, Texas. Always great to talk about the latest in ag policy, ag technology. Also get a chance to talk with several Iowa producers and also people in the know in the agriculture industry from the state down there in Houston. Great time and a lot of things learned and a lot of great announcements there. One that Andy guy really was wanting to highlight is the fact that Iowa Corn Promotion Board, along with their counterparts in states like South Dakota, Kansas, and many others, are starting a national search with some grant money available to try to find the next big technology for usage of corn. I know we spent a lot of time talking about sustainable aviation fuel, but trying to find more uses, whether that's plastics, whether that's basically the gambit is wide open. If you can use corn to do it, they really want to know about it. And we're going to be highlighting that a little bit later in Agribusiness Matters. Mark will have some follow-up on the information I got there from Commodity. But definitely the message was improving the usage of our products, whether that is finding new trade avenues, whether that is finding new uses for it. And it did bring up some interesting conversation, that is for sure.
Yeah, marketing, certainly, and demand are the two best things that the checkoff can be doing as, of course, we continue to look at a large carryout to over 2 billion bushels and projections perhaps for even larger after the 24 crop is in the bin. As we sit here a year from now, Dustin, and talk, the projection is that carryout may very well grow. So obviously, Iowa producers, American producers are world class and continue to get better at their craft. So we have to find ways to use the product. So glad to hear that they are on the case there. Hey, the Iowa's Best Burger Contest, of course, is in its 15th year, and I've kind of been enjoying some of the things that our friends at the Iowa Cattlemen's Association, the Iowa Beef Industry Council, have been doing in regard to promotion this year. They've been doing sort of a retro look back at past burger winners and the burgers themselves to celebrate in its 15th year. And by the way, nominations are winding up. So if you haven't nominated your favorite restaurant yet, you need to do that. Do you have a favorite burger, Dustin? I know it's hard to pick just one.
It is hard to pick just one. I know I do get to occasionally up to the Ankeny Diner for one of the former winners of the Iowa Best Burger Competition. Their burgers are always phenomenal, and again, being nearby, but there have been some great winners and some great burgers out there. And believe me, any chance I've got to eat a great burger, I'm going to take the opportunity to do that. So maybe I have to organize a tour of past winners as well as looking at those who are in the running this year. Maybe that's something we should do. I mean, research before you do any kind of reporting really is essential, Andy. Maybe you and I may have to bite the bullet and do a tour of some of these hamburgers.
Take one for the team. Absolutely. I would just say that the Class Act restaurant at Kirkwood in Cedar Rapids has one of the best burgers that you're going to find. There are a lot of good ones in Iowa. There's no doubt. It's tough to pick the best, which is part of what makes that award so special. And if you haven't nominated your favorite to burger joint or talked with the wait staff or maybe the manager there about getting involved in the contest, well, you do have a few more days to do that. Look forward to hearing about driving demand for Iowa's corn products coming up here on Iowa Ag Matters. It's March. Even though for the most part this winter has been overly mild, there's still nothing quite like the excitement of planting season and new life and growth right around the corner. It's exhilarating, it's exciting, it's fun, it can be breathtaking, and also be a very dangerous time of year. Hi there, Andy Peterson, the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, with a quick reminder of a few things we can do to help reduce that risk during the very busy planting season, like thoroughly inspecting all equipment before going to fields. Try to rest up, as chronic fatigue can have the same effect on your body as drugs and alcohol, and slowed reaction times can be the difference sometimes between life or death. Planting season is a sprint, yet it's also important to do it right and be cognizant of what's happening around you and come home safely to your families each and every evening. We want to be around to have our discussions about the growing season after planting season has concluded. This message brought to you by your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Well, let's take a look around the state here at some cash prices. The number of threes seem to be decreasing, which is certainly good news as the market may have found a bottom and moves upward here. Dustin has the numbers for you right after this on your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture.
Time to run down some of those elevator prices for you here on Iowa Ag Matters for this Monday, March the 4th. I'm Dustin Huffman. Starting at ADM Burlington, they're 9 cents under on corn today. Cash bid 420. Soybeans a nickel under at 11.56. Cargill and Eddyville 15 cents under on corn. Cash bid 414. New Co-op Algona 20 cents under on corn 409. Soybeans 65 cents under with a cash bid of 10.96. Ag State Sheldon 4 cents over on corn 433. Soybeans 73 cents under at 10.88. Ag State Alta, 21 cents under on corn, cash bid 408, soybeans 67 cents under at 1094. Cargill Cedar Rapids, even today on corn, 429, soybeans a nickel under, cash bid 1156. Nexus Co-op Marble Rock, a dime under on corn, 419, soybeans 50 cents under at 1111. Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, 15 cents under on corn, cash bid 414, soybeans at ADM Des Moines, 12 cents under, cash bid 1149. New Co-op Red Oak, 23 cents under on corn, 406, soybeans 55 cents under at 1106. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, 35 cents under, cash bid 394, soybeans 58 cents under at 1103. At New Co-op Sheraton, they're 38 cents under on corn, 391, soybeans 60 cents under, cash bid 1101. Walk-On Feed Ranch, 29 cents under on corn, $4 even, soybeans 53 cents under at 1108. New Co-op Glidden, 20 cents under on corn, cash bid 409, soybeans 55 cents under at 1106. Innovative Ag Services Farley, 21 cents under on corn, 408, soybeans 45 cents under with a cash bid at 1116. and Cargill Muscatine. They are closed for the season. They will reopen the terminal coming up on April the 1st. The offices are open for business. Cash, corn, and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. And that's been a rundown of the elevator prices here on Iowa Ag Matters. More in a moment.
If you thought soybeans were only used for tofu, think again. From tires and adhesives to next-generation asphalt, soy is used to create over 1,000 industrial products and counting. Thanks to your soy checkoff investment, the sky's the limit for Iowa soybean farmers. Oh, and speaking of skies, did I mention soy is also used in sustainable aviation fuel? The Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soy Checkoff, is driven to deliver for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. Learn more at iasoybeans.com.
We've got more market information still to come here on Iowa Ag Matters, including a complete rundown of the midday numbers. Mark and Andy will have that coming up for you later on in the program. Don't forget about our free market podcast on Amazon, Apple, Google, Spotify, and Podbean, or online at iowaagnet.com. More Iowa Ag Matters coming right up.
Well, our representatives were hard at work in Houston, Texas this past week at Commodity Classic, not only telling the story of Iowa corn production, but also trying to help the industry with one of its biggest problems, which is a 2.2 or thereabouts billion bushel carryout. Steve Kuiper, District 8 representative for the Iowa Corn Growers Association, explains more with special correspondent Russ Parker.
Steve farms up in the Knoxville area, and we're going to talk about checkoff and a couple of topics that are moving forward within the Iowa corn growers.
So, yeah, so my name is Steve Kuiper. I farm with my two sons in the Marion, Mahaska County area. We are just corn and soybeans. And I'm the District 8 director, so I have an area from like Marion, Warren, Madison, straight south, clear to the Missouri border.
Okay, and as I understand it, these districts are kind of follow the crop reporting districts.
Yep, they follow the crop reporting districts.
Okay. So we're going to talk a little bit about what happens to that seed after it gets harvested, and there's a lot of uses that are the crop's being used for. Let's talk about what's new in that topic.
So corn has a little over 4,000 uses.
That is amazing.
And so I'm on the Iowa Corn's Research Committee. I'm the head of the Iowa Corn Research Committee. And Iowa corn itself has extensive research programs. And so we're constantly looking for new uses. And we're also looking for better ways to grow corn or better genetics that'll help farmers. As far as our new uses go, we've got a couple of different products that were patentable that would make a plastic product, and we're working on other ones. So what we've done, we did our strategic plan here a couple years ago, and we feel that we have to do more faster for the Iowa farmer to find more uses so he can burn through more corn, have more corn grind. Mm-hmm. And so those are the things we're focusing on. Today, you know, we got multiple things that we're working on, and, you know, just traded just for Iowa corn. It's top secret for Iowa corn, I guess, for lack of better terms. But as we get through the process of developing these new products, then we'll spin those off and sell them to companies that they can start to use corn to make different products. And I think one thing folks forget, you know, in our area, you know, primarily a lot of the corn goes to Cargill at Eddyville. And so at Cargill, there's a new facility going up. From CORE, and that new facility is going to grind about 30,000 bushels of corn per day, you know. And today, you know, with corn at $4.20 or whatever, you know, an extra 30,000 bushels a day is a big deal. But that corn product goes to create fiber to create Lululemon products, and so, you know, we're getting our foot in the door into some areas where we haven't been in the past. This summer, or this spring, actually, Lululemon is coming to my farm and Will Cannon's farm to just do a visit and see how their product's produced and understand what farmers go through and just see the process from where their raw product comes from. Mm-hmm. And so it's exciting stuff, you know, and if we can we can produce product for Lululemon. There's other companies out there that we can produce product for too.
Well, definitely some great information there from the Iowa Corn Growers Association and the Iowa Corn Promotion Board. Right now, Andy Peterson stopping by. He has his three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Looking for demand for Iowa's agricultural products, and perhaps that comes with a thawing in the trade relationship between the U.S. and Cuba. The National Association of State Departments of Agriculture recently led a trade mission to Cuba, where Ted McKinney is the CEO.
I sense that things are changing. Let me give you an example. We had the full support of the USDA's Foreign Ag Service to go there, which meant everybody at USDA knew this. And the same with State Department. There was a time when nobody was allowed to go. So that seems to be there. And I'll go back to this restructuring that they initiated on their own. This rise of private companies, this rise of cooperatives, many types, but including privately owned, not government-driven, government-mandated, offers an opportunity. It might give them an opportunity to get some hard currency or bring more in, or maybe it might open up their credit record to be approved such that they can get credit from other banks.
He says it's like all other rising middle classes where Cubans want to diversify their food choices.
Number two.
Nominations are now open for Iowa's Pulled Pork Madness, the contest that matches March Madness for Iowans who love delicious pulled pork sandwiches. The contest is a lot of fun and is great at highlighting, quote, delicious pork on menus across the state, according to Hannah Spur, Consumer Outreach Director for the Iowa Pork Producers Association. It's the seventh year of the contest, which highlights the best of the best across the state in regard to pulled pork meals.
Number one.
On the hunt for maximum efficiency in every aspect of a row crop operation, given what's happened in commodity prices, our friends at the Iowa Soybean Association are doing their seeding rate trials, where Brian Fager, a farmer in Cass County, participated last year, and he says certainly during the growing season, looks can be a little deceiving, as the higher populations will look better during the season.
You know, we were probably in that 130 to 140,000 seed per acre environment already before we were doing this trial. And I was like, man, was I thinking about this wrong? You know, just visually. But then you go out there and start combining, and you're like, well, that was not the case at all. I mean, the combine always tells the story and gets the final say.
He says their optimum rate last year was either 110,000 or 80,000 seeds per acre, and they are participating in the trial again. You can do the same at iasoybeans.com. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
If you thought soybeans were only used for tofu, think again. From tires and adhesives to next-generation asphalt, soy is used to create over 1,000 industrial products and counting. Thanks to your soy checkoff investment, the sky's the limit for Iowa soybean farmers. Oh, and speaking of skies, did I mention soy is also used in sustainable aviation fuel? The Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soy Checkoff, is driven to deliver for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. Learn more at iasoybeans.com.
Well, definitely, like I said earlier in the show, good being back in Iowa. Lots of great information as we're learning here throughout the day. And we'll, during the coming days here on Iowa Ag Matters, some Commodity Classic. It was great talking with some of the Iowa farmers there as well, talking about the things they're doing to innovate in their farms and try to make sure they're doing the best they can for the coming year. And also talking with the Iowans who are involved on the national scale with being part of promoting our products globally as well. And we'll have more on that coming up as well. But right now, the midday markets, those are rolling along. We're going to see how the grain and livestock numbers are adding up. Mark and Andy are going to have those for you coming up on Iowa Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, online at iowaagnet.com.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson. Corn is trading higher near midday and appears to have made a temporary bottom last week, with the May contract falling to 408 and three quarters before rallying back on apparent short covering. This morning, private exporters reported sales of 110,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to Taiwan during the 23-24 marketing year. This was the first flash sale reported in a while and comes as Brazil and Argentina are planting their corn crops. Friday's CFTC report showed that as of February 27th, funds bought back 45,474 contracts of corn, which reduced their net short position to 295,258 contracts. Soybeans trading sharply higher again today after 10 cents of gains on Friday. Soybeans appear to have put in a temporary bottom, along with corn, with some possible short covering by managed funds. This morning, private exporters reported a flash sale of 126,000 metric tons of soybean cake and meal for delivery to unknown destinations. The Brazilian soybean harvest, now estimated at 46.05% completed, which compares to 43.34% at this time last year. This Friday, the USDA will release its WASDE report, and trade will look for changes in estimated production. That's the latest on the grains. Here's Andy Peterson with more livestock news.
Brand new week here, Mark, so let's take a look at some beef numbers to start with. The daily estimated slaughter totals coming in at 100,000 head. That's 19,000 less than a week ago. 16,000 less than a year ago. Boxes are stronger once again to start the week. 68 loads of choice cut selling up $1.08, $305.28. Select at $1.56 higher, $295.74 on just 9 loads of movement. The spread is back down below $10, narrowing to $9.54. As far as pork goes, daily estimated slaughter totals coming in at 484,000 head. That's 2,000 more than a week ago and quite a few more than a year ago, 22,000 to be exact. Let's wrap up Friday's cash markets here for comparison purposes. Barrels and gilts, producers sold on a carcass basis, negotiated purchases, finished with only 2,900 head of sales and sharply lower on the market, down 282, weighted average price 72.67. As far as formula purchases go, 142,000 head of sales, weighted average price 79.30. So that market finished up $1.22. So far here today, we've almost equaled Friday's totals, 2,481 head of negotiated purchases, and we're bouncing up $1.83. So most of Friday's losses are back, weighted average price 73.85. Formula purchases are up again about 52 cents on 132,000 head of sales to the weighted average price of $80.45.
Hi, my name is Shannon Muller, and I've been a certified crop advisor in Iowa for 2 years. The Iowa CCA program is valuable to me because it provides additional opportunities to learn about research and solutions for current agronomic challenges, not just locally, but from around the world. To learn more about becoming a certified crop advisor, visit iowacca.org.
At midday, May corn is up 4.75 at 429.5. May soybeans up 3 even at 11.54 1/4. May soybean meal up 80 cents at 333.10. May soybean oil up 11 cents at 45.27. On the Merc, April live cattle down 42 cents at 188.02. March feeder cattle down $1.37 at 251.60. April lean hogs down $1.22 at 86.85. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
Well, we're back. We're looking at some of the livestock analysis. Greg McBride is back with Mark Magnuson talking about what's happening with those cattle and hogs, especially after some strong finishes at the end of the week.
Flipping over to the other side of the ag marketplace and what's happening with the protein sector.
Well, we finished the week very strong. It started looking Tuesday through Thursday. It looked like we were just going to completely fall out of bed on the cattle side of things. And then we had a nice strong move on Friday to get ourselves back up near those weekly highs. So you're in a little bit more of a sideways pattern for the last couple of weeks on the cattle market. You're starting to see a little bit of negativity in some of the oscillators, some of the technical picture, but overall, it is still a market that's holding a longer term uptrend. So we'll continue to watch that. The hog market continues very strong. It's had a couple of days where it looked like it was going to fall apart. Early last week, there was a gap lower on the chart. Came back, finished with an outside day up on Friday. Very strong from a technical standpoint. So we'll have to continue to watch that, because as we continue to watch this this uptrend hold, and it's basically held since the beginning of the year, or it started at the beginning of the year, we've also seen the open interest increase on this market. So as you're going into an uptrend, if the open interest continues to increase, it does bode well for holding higher prices in the near future.
Is China still having issues with its hog market, and is that helping the United States at all? Is that playing into this?
It is playing into it, but it's, you know, we are also seasonally, this is when we do start to see things. We've seen very good pork exports to start this year. Actually, finished the year strong. We're starting this year strong. So that also is 2 months of this year is doing what we typically would see is a very strong start to the year. These winter and spring contracts are doing very, very well.
And then, Greg, when we think about the demand picture right now, we are getting to the point where we start to think about grilling season. And, man, this very nice weather we're having early in the year is probably pushing us to that a little bit earlier.
Yeah, very very interesting to kind of see this. Now, obviously, it's going to start to get to the point where everybody wants to get out and be active. That's great. We want to see that. But it also is one of those things where we always do tend to see maybe a late April or early May snow. So it'll keep people watching. I know from what we saw over the weekend, you know, mid 60s to 70s, and then it dips right back down into the 40s, and we do see the chance of some snow later on this week. So there is, you know, little bits here and there, maybe a wintry mix still kind of in the cards. We're not quite there yet, but we've had a heck of a winter. The only thing I would be concerned about when it comes to like maybe the growing season or even just the livestock in general is you do have a little bit drier bias in Iowa. That could be an issue.
Hi, my name is Ethan Smith, and I've been a certified crop advisor in Iowa for about 6 years. The Iowa CCA program is valuable to me because it helps keep me informed on new topics and research around the industry, including soils, insects, diseases, and much more. It's also a great way to network with others around the state and beyond. Iowa is known for its crops, and that's why we're here. To learn more about becoming a certified crop advisor, visit iowacca.org.
Well, let's talk some soybean exports here, shall we? As the global trade does absolutely matter in regard to per bushel price on the farm. Dustin catches up with Jim Sutter next on Iowa Ag Matters. Well, let's take a look at where we are here in regard to soybean exports. Not where we'd like to be, perhaps, but there's definitely efforts going on to increase those numbers, open new markets, and ahead of, looks like, a planted acreage bump on the soybean crop in 2024, find some more demand for U.S. and Iowa soybeans. Dustin Hoffman now learning more from Jim Sutter.
Jim, we always talk every year at Commodity Classic, yep, to get an idea of what happened the previous year and what we're looking forward to. So if we'll recap in 2023, Jim, let's start there. I mean, from Soybean Export Council's perspective, how did it go?
I would say it was quite a good year. Set a new record for soybean meal exports. Did not set a record for exports overall. I think it was the second highest in total volume, but it was still a pretty darn good year for exports. We were happy that we continue to see diversification of markets. That's one of the things that is one of our goals, to continue to broaden the number of countries where U.S. soy goes. And by having record soybean meal exports, in some ways that helps because meal goes to different markets than beans. But I would say it was a good year.
So obviously when we talk about exports and being in the open market, talking about soy meal, South America is always top of mind,
yep,
for our competition.
Yep.
Brazil looking to have a year that we're not quite sure what's going to happen. Just like with us, we don't know what's going to happen until the beans are in the bin.
Right.
But Argentina looking like it's going to be better this year than last year. They
much better.
A big hit on soy meal production. What does that mean from our perspective as far as being in the marketplace?
Well, I think, Dustin, I think that's certainly true. I mean, part of our record meal exports were probably due to the fact there was such a problem in Argentina. Their crop was down pretty significantly. So this year they are coming back. You talked about it. I think their crop's going to be back to kind of normal. So we'll see them be more active in the meal export markets. Hopefully people that have taken U.S. meal, we won't lose all of that growth that we saw there. So we'll continue to see that. But we're focusing a lot on soybean meal right now. With the change in the U.S. that we foresee coming, with renewable diesel growing, so we're going to see crush plants expanding. We've seen some new crush plants coming. So we're going to have more meal to export in the years to come. So I think getting ready to deal with this competition in the soybean meal market is just something we need to, our organization and the suppliers of meal we've all got to figure out how to work together in this. We've been doing a lot of strategizing on that and thinking about where the growth markets are for meal that we ought to be targeting, where are the big mature markets like Europe where we should continue to be shipping meal. But I think we've got a plan, and we're working with the industry on that.
All right, so speaking of planning and looking for what the future is going to look like, let's talk about 2024. Now, let's start with that soybean meal. Obviously, you said holding on to those customers is a big deal. I mean, what is it that we can hang our hat on is when they see Argentina coming back online? Maybe the prices are a little better.
Yep.
What is it that we're going to hang our hat on? Is it going to be the quality that we hang our hat on?
So we hang our hat on the quality and the sustainability. In both of those regards, we have a great message to tell. The quality of U.S. soy, the consistency, the whole nutrient bundle that we talk about is superior to other origins, and we have a lot of data, and our animal experts and aquaculture experts can talk about that with the best of them. And then sustainability. And I know I hear from U.S. farmers, hey, I don't want to talk about sustainability, that I don't like that word. But I tell people, listen, it's a marketing advantage. It is a true advantage for the U.S., and it's particularly a marketing advantage. So U.S. farmers, they may not feel like they're doing it, but I would say it's just inherent in their DNA. I think they are great stewards of the land. They do a great job protecting the soil. When you think about all of the work that's been done since the Soil Conservation Service was formed in 1935, there's been tremendous change in this country since the time of the Dust Bowl. And that's all part of sustainability. So I think we're in a great spot. When you look at how the U.S. performs in sustainability on various metrics relative to other countries, we do a great job. So sustainability, and particularly in a place like the EU, is going to be a continued differentiator for the U.S.
Ah, it's March. Even though, for the most part, this winter has been overly mild, there's still nothing quite like the excitement of planting season and new life and growth right around the corner. It's exhilarating. It's exciting. It's fun. It can be breathtaking. It can also be a very dangerous time of year. Hi there, Andy Peterson, the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, with a quick reminder of a few things we can do to help reduce that risk during the very busy planting season, like thoroughly inspecting all equipment before going to fields. Try to rest up, as chronic fatigue can have the same effect on your body as drugs and alcohol, and slowed reaction times can be the difference sometimes between life or death. Planting season is a sprint, yet it's also important to do it right and be cognizant of what's happening around you and come home safely to your families each and every evening. We want to be around to have our discussions about the growing season after planting season has concluded. This message brought to you by your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Wow, just like that, we're already at the end of today's show, and we just began to scratch the surface of the things we learned at Commodity Classic here, Andy.
No doubt about that, and we'll continue that coverage, of course, going forward. But lots of stuff happening here in Iowa as we continue to move forward in your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture remaining on the cutting edge, including some property tax conversations and some funding impacts that we need to talk about here in the next couple of days as well. Thanks to Dustin, thanks to Riley, thanks to Mark, and of course, thanks to you for being here. And we'll see you tomorrow. Check out more, as always, at iowaagnet.com. This is the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.